I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, here's a surprise. Hello, travel hackers. It's Richie here. Why have I popped up? Well, look, Chris and I are going to be hacking again soon. But I'm here to tell you that my Monday to Friday husband from off of the radio, Andy Bush from Absolute Radio, has a new podcast. And I got to tell you, I think you'll like it. It's about board games. Games you play on a board. So you can listen and subscribe now. The link is in the show notes to this episode. And now, just for you, little 5 minutes of episode one of his podcast, which is called Carol Baskin Monopoly. Hope you enjoy it. And I promise, Chris and I back hacking soon for you.
Bush's Board Game Thing.
So here we are, episode one of Bush's Board Game Thing, a brand new board gaming podcast powered by the awesome folk over at Zatu Games. It's me, Andy Bush. We've got Brian over there.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening, depending on what time you're listening to.
Fantastic. We've got Jess over there.
Hello.
And basically it's us meeting up each week, talking about life through our love of board games. And I think staying tight with those that you love, turning phones off and communicating, it's never been more important. So each week we're going to look at a different set of games grouped by theme. So if you're new to the hobby or what I would describe as board game curious, come on in. This is the podcast for you. If you want to get your questions in or get in touch in any way, we're very approachable. All you've got to do is find us on Instagram at Board Game Thing. So we're talking about traditional board games in this first episode. Those games you might remember from caravanning trips with your folks back in the day. Is there a place for these games in modern life? We're going to look at how some of the classics have been reinvigorated or jazzed up for the modern palette in a bit. But let's start by delving back in time, guys. Is there a game that has a special place in your heart from your upbringing, your childhood?
Yes, I've got one. So I've actually struggled to find it online. I've only been able to find it on eBay. So I'm not 100% sure how
good
this
start.
Is going to go.
Start.
That's a good start.
Right, okay. It's called Huskadoo.
I'm sure that is a band with Frank Black from the Pixies, isn't it? Surely? Is that
well, yeah, that came up when I Googled
Did
it.
He get the name for the band from the game, or do you think the game named themselves after the Frank Black band?
The game is very old, like really old, so I'm going to say...
Well, Frank Black's quite old.
Oh, right, okay. I don't know. But Huskadoo is essentially go fish, but you've got... There's two bits of card,
right?
And on the bottom bit, there's lots of different kind of images of things. I can't remember what it was, like a rabbit or a jug or something like that.
Sounds great already.
And then on the top, you've got little like little figurines that cover all of the images. And then you've got to try and get pairs. So it's essentially Go Fish, but a board game.
When would you have played this? Would this have been around the Temby family in a holiday caravan? Or would this be on a Sunday when the rain's rattling against the window outside?
Yeah, absolutely. We played it a lot. It was pretty battered by the end of it. And also we lost a lot of the pieces.
Okay.
So, but one thing that I remember is that my parents always beat me. They never ever would let me win, which would just be immensely frustrating.
Yeah.
So it used to get really tense between me and my stepbrother.
It's a weird thing though, isn't it, this concept of like whether you let your kids win at board games or not. You know what I mean? Like, do you let them in, or you teach them a life lesson by, like, Jess's parents, they're like crushing her hopes in Huskadoo, or do you let them win so they get into
it? I have a 5 and a 7 year old, and I just for an easy life, I just let them win all the time.
Are you setting a bad precedent there, though? Do you know what I mean? Is that teaching them about life in the future?
I probably am, but it's just easy that way. And actually, sometimes I find we play a game called Labyrinth quite a lot, where you have to get around the board by moving.
It's an old classic.
And trap people in the labyrinth, and I actually let them win, but it's actually harder for me to try and lose than it is to win. So you're there.
Just that good.
You're actually doing mental gymnastics trying to make let them win. It's harder.
Trying to throw the game.
Hold on a minute, though. Surely then, aren't you bringing up your children to be
monsters,
sore losers?
Yeah. Monsters
they
and sore
are
losers,
be,
yeah.
Just whenever they play card games or anything, any kind
absolutely.
Of game.
Absolutely. But that's when I've released them to the world. I'm trying to get through that boring afternoon without them going off on me, so it's fine.
Bush's board game thing.
But a guy that I used to work with in Bristol, he's Greek Cypriot, and him and his dad used to play table tennis all the time when they were on holiday or whatever. It's what you do in Cyprus. And
it's
Theopathetus. And they played table tennis all the time, and his dad would literally wipe the floor with him. And I remember him telling me there was one table tennis game when he was like 21, when he finally beat his dad. And then it changed everything from that point on. It was like a big, rite of passage. Mm. And maybe you're missing out on that by letting your lad win at like 5 years old.
No, because
I
do give him a little taste of humble pie sometimes, because we play football in the garden, we've got a little goal.
Yeah.
And usually, you know, you roll the ball to them and they catch it and you let them score. But like 1 out of every 10... absolutely thump it in the back of the net. Like, have that!
Roberto Carlos it with a penny
just
floater.
Just so they know. And then the other day, actually said to me, Daddy, are you losing on purpose? And I was like, no, you are genuinely scoring all these goals. I think you're one of the world's greatest footballers.
That's good. So you kind of, it's giving
both
yin and yang, isn't it, in many ways. Yeah. We asked on Instagram, at Board Game Think, if there was a particular board game that has a special place in your heart. From back in the olden days. Anything coming in on the wires, Jess?
Yeah, we've got one from Chris Eyre. It says, Sorcerer's Cave, a different game every time you play.
Yes, I remember that. I bought that from a church, bring and buy sale.
And how much was missing of it?
Most of it. Okay. All the room. Well, there's one room.
That's part of the joy of it. You use your imagination.
For me, that game was the Sorcerer's Alleyway. It was just one connecting corridor. Really was quite disappointing.
I've got another one from Luke.
Yeah.
Test match cricket, love that game. Hated that the balls were so small and easy to lose, though.
It's weird that they don't play... These games aren't around anymore. The old sports games, you have a little plastic cricket player and you've got to hit them. A bit like it's kind of like the next bit on from Subutio or whatever.
Remind me of test match cricket, because to me it looked very much like Subutio, a Subutio knockoff. So it was like, what can we do that's like just as good as Subutio, but we don't have to put much effort in?
Imagine,
test match cricket.
Your brother with a bowler on a plastic stick, and he's got a bit of guttering that rolls down the bowler's arm, bowls the ball at him, and then you're stood behind a batter with a plastic stick and hitting the cricket bat, and then it goes on like a little cloth pitch, and then the ball, as he said in his message, inevitably rolls under your nan's skirting board. That's not a euphemism. And then you can't get it back.
Petition. That's games
so cool.
Like that come with 50 balls.
Yeah.
Mind you, just lose those as well, wouldn't you?
Just to add context to what's going on in this this first episode here of Board Game Thing, we are having to sit on separate chairs in a triangular formation because of obviously this incredible scenario that we find ourselves in 2020. And it's fairly unusual, isn't it? I feel like three people having a chat in an airport departures lounge from adjacent couches.
I don't know. It makes it feel like it's like a Radio 4 thing, though. It's
it's
the round panel. Hi, guys. What do you think?
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
But then also, I kind of feel like I'm in a job interview because Bush is like in front of Brian and I.
Oh, yeah,
a little
just
bit
to
higher
add a little
up,
bit of your extra
a little bit higher
context.
Up.
He's the only one with a desk. Why do you get a desk when we don't?
I've stipulated I want a desk, otherwise I'm going to walk.
Okay, fair.
But the interesting thing is Jess has to keep folding her laptop down to talk to me. Which is nice.
just
says how far away she is.
Also, Brian's kind of slouched to the point nearly where I feel like he's in the therapist chair.
I have bad posture. I can't help it.
You've turned up to this first episode. We're trying to make a really good first impression with our listeners and potential listeners. You've got absolutely shredded trainers on. You've got a hoodie on. You look like you're dealing. What's
and also,
going on?
I got dressed in the dark this morning. I'm wearing all blue. I look like a Smurf.
You've got your hair slipped back. So I'm going to call you David Bowie's sports director years.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, is there a game
I'm going through
for
a tough time at the minute, right?
Is there a game for you that used to play?
Ludo. And I just have nothing but terrible, terrible memories of Ludo. Because A, it's the world's most boring game.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.